Train Shuffling is brought to you by Midgard Hobbies and Games, your friendly local game store located in Derry, New Hampshire.
And by Luxury Playstyle, maker of fine metal gaming accessories. Visit luxplay.com and use promo code LUXINFORMANT for 15% off.
And most importantly, we're brought to you by our wonderful patrons. If you'd like to buy a share of Train Shuffling, visit us at patreon.com/trainshuffling.
Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to Train Shuffling. My name's Eric Heiden.
I'm Johnny Hollander.
I'm Len Kay.
And here we are tonight. We have a repeat guest. Len, you're like honorary Train Shuffling host now.
I know. I'm like the, I'm like David Brenner on The Tonight Show or something. And I'm the recurring.
You know what's great?
What?
You made that joke the last time we recorded with you too.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to go with some new material.
And I still don't know who that is.
That was the first time I've heard the joke.
Yeah, because Johnny doesn't listen to our own podcast. David.
Go look up The Tonight Show on Wikipedia.
What's his name? Brenner?
This is back in my day, of course, when Johnny Carson hosted The Tonight Show. You know, he had several recurring guest hosts, David Brenner, Joan Rivers, probably two or three others. But, I just remember them.
I have just dated myself, by the way. I mean, you know, the opposite of dated myself. I've made myself... For our older listeners, older than me, now they know I'm a young whippersnapper who doesn't know who David Brenner is. He's got quite a face, my lord.
He did. Does.
He's got a
schnoz. I don't know if he's still alive or not.
Me neither. Anyway, here we are. Welcome to the show. Len, thanks for coming back. I guess we weren't too harsh on you last time.
Yeah, that's okay. The game was harsh on me too. No worries.
Yeah. So we're here to talk. This is an abbreviated, game recap style episode that we're going to do, not a full episode. We're going to skip the structure and the fluff and just kind of have a casual conversation. We should come up with a weird name for these, what's the lounge car? We'll call them the lounge car edition.
Isn't that what the Pullman is?
No, that's a sleeper. We've been through this.
That's a sleeper. Yeah, it's a sleeper car. Yes. Well, it was also for dining.
Oh, was it? I thought the Pullmans were sleepers.
I don't know. I did a whole six train facts on it. I think they were for dining too.
Wow. You need to go back and listen to your train facts.
Did they serve eggs?
Eggs. Oh man. Okay. So I'm going to write this down so I don't forget. Sometimes when I talk about adding things to the show notes, I forget to put them in later. What is the something of trains? What is it called?
The exciting of trains.
The exciting of trains. Everyone who hasn't seen this absolutely has to go to our show notes right now as you're listening to this and find the link to the YouTube video for the exciting of trains and watch it, and you'll get the egg joke and have a good laugh. Doesn't make any sense. It's just
and bees, and don't forget the bee car.
I don't remember the bees. This is 4 months that I watched this. So 4 months ago.
And that car is full of bees.
Oh yeah.
This has nothing to do with trains, but when you said you did six episode train fact on Pullmans and don't remember anything about them, it reminded me that today Latvia came up because we were watching Seinfeld and. George was converting to the faith.
Yeah. Yes.
And I knew where Latvia was only because I did a train fact about the Trans-Siberian, and Latvia is right next to Russia. And I was like, oh, I know where that is because I looked at a map to figure out where everything was going. I have no idea. That wasn't part of the train fact. What is it?
Riga. Latvia is one of the three Baltic states. What are the other two?
Lithuania.
And?
Starts with a B, I think?
No.
No? Oh.
Starts with an E.
Oh, Estonia.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you didn't ask me that question. Sweden? I don't know.
Way far away.
Yeah, I know it's not Sweden. Oh, Lord. So this has been Geography with Train Shuffling. It's a new segment we're running. Glenn's just going to quiz us on random shit.
Next, you'll be going for a 20-point toss-up question.
Okay. I'm going to cut you off before we get to that for the sake of everyone. And we're talking about 1848 today because we recently got a copy of 1848 sent to us by GMT Games, very much appreciated. And we decided to take it for a run. Johnny and I had played it online a couple of times, and I really enjoyed the times that we played, but it was, you know, board 18. It's kind of hard to, for me, to get a sense of what is going on in the game. Johnny, I know you feel the same way. It's very disconnected. I feel like I'm playing with my head down, you know, at a desk and only looking at my pieces and then looking up and seeing the board when it's my turn and then putting my head back down. And I peek around maybe a little bit. I'm like, wait, what's everyone? Okay, you got some train. Okay, now it's my turn to play my turn. And the very different experience. So was very excited to hear or to feel this out at the table and see how it went. So we were planning all to play it this past Thursday, and then Johnny ended up not being able to make it. So Len and I played, and we're going to regale Johnny with the tale of literally the best game of 18XX that I will ever play.
Ever. Do me a favor when you edit this, put some, like, we're about to tell a story music right before you start telling it. You know, like Aladdin, like...
which song from Aladdin am I copyright infringing into this podcast?
Well, you know, when he's about to tell the story and he's like, welcome to Agrabah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, gather around. That thing. Yeah, so we figured for Johnny's sake, since it's been how long? A year since we played online? Do you know?
Yeah, it's been a while because I haven't played anything online in a long time.
Johnny needs a rules refresher. I'm not going to go over the full rules, but I will mention some of the stuff that's kind of weird and non-standard. The annoyances. Oh my God, Len. Len's wearing his opinion on his sleeve a little bit. The game didn't go super well for Len.
No. Spoilers. No, I crashed and burned at the end.
But that's the joy. That's part of the joy of this game, I think. Anyway, we'll talk about it. So, let's see. I'm going to try and do high level.
Part of your joy of the game.
Well,
not the joy of the game.
No, I enjoyed when we played online. I crashed and burned and it was sort of fun. But only because I don't know.
I don't know if Len's talking.
No, I'm trying to. I don't want to be caught off guard in about 10 minutes. So I'm looking at the map and I'm trying to remember what happened that made me crash and burn.
Oh, okay. Because your lips were moving, but no sound was coming out.
He was talking, but just not to any other human. So 1848 in this game, it's a tight map. It's an 1830s variant with some heavy modifications. There's an entity called the Bank of England in this game that you can get loans from, and they give you $100 a loan. And when you take one, your company's stock value moves two spaces to the left, and you're only allowed normally to take one per set of operating rounds. But if you ever have to emergency fundraise in this game for a train, for example, you are forced then to take as many loans as you want. You actually can't contribute from hand. Like a normal game, you can't like chip in cash towards emergency fundraising. You have to take it in the form of loans. So if you're really far behind in, you know, you got a permanent train, you got to buy, or whatever, a four train, probably a permanent. Usually you're getting caught off guard on a permanent. But if you have to buy a train, you go back two, and then for every subsequent one after that, you go back three. And once you hit the far left side of the stock market, your company goes into receivership. And when it goes into receivership, everybody who owns shares that isn't the director.
Everybody but you, basically.
Yeah, everybody but you and the bank. The bank doesn't get anything.
Right.
Gets paid out the IPO value, because now the value is non-existent, right? It's closed. They get their original IPO investment back from the company. And if the company can't afford to pay them back, then the president has to pay them back. And then if the president doesn't have the money, I think they have to sell shares. Yeah, and you just go down and down, you know, further and further into the rabbit hole. So that's an interesting thing. When you can invest in the Bank of England. So you during a stock run, you can invest in the Bank of England, whose stock price never goes down, and it always will pay. Well, it might not, what?
And the key point is the Bank of England's price goes up every time somebody takes a loan.
Right. It doesn't go down ever. It goes up once on its chart. By you take a loan off and it reveals the next price. It's a nice the way that GMT did this. I don't know what the implementation looked like in the original version because I never played that. So so the stock value is always going to go up, probably going to go up at some point unless you invest late, you know, or people are managing their companies really well and people aren't taking loans or going into receivership. And then it will pay out, you know, based on the phase of the game, it goes up, it's zero in yellow, and then it goes up 100 divided by 10 in green because there's 10 shares, 200 in brown and 300 in gray. And it gets increased by the city value of each token of companies in receivership. So when they go into receivership, you just flip the tokens. They're supposed to have like Bank of England printed on the back, but they forgot that in this edition, in the GMT edition. So you got to just remember that. I mean, the icons look different on both sides of the token, so you can tell what's going on, but you just need to remember. So, you know, if people crash and burn, then the Bank of England is good. So that's one thing that's different. It's a full cap game. You float at 60%. Oh, the opening auction's pretty different. It's a chart, basically, and all the privates start at too high, probably, prices. It's a Dutch auction. And so what you do is, on your turn, you can either lower the price of something and not buy it, just lower the price, or buy something at the current value. And there's a lowest possible value printed on the chart. So, you know, if it's my turn and I don't want to buy anything, I just pick something that I hope that no one else is going to buy, or maybe I want someone else to buy before me, and lower it. And then we just go around and around. And like passings, you can only pass either if you own something already or someone owns something and everything else is on the floor. But, you know, passing's kind of complicated. So you're all just basically looking to get a good deal there. There is one private that I think is kind of always a turd, but I've only played it three times. So I did read a little bit about some ideas on what you could do with it. This is the QR, the Queens Railroad, the one that starts up in the upper, it's the northeast corner of the map.
Northeast, right.
And it's just up there by itself, and it sort of gets, like, you can't buy the private in either, which is part of the problem with it. You get a share of the QR, and then you just sort of, you know, Joe, in our game, Joe Rashadan got that one, and it, he just sort of got hamstrung up there, lonely and sad. Oh. Len, what else should we mention here?
There are a couple other companies up there that if started early, it can be okay, right?
The closest one is, it's the orange company.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really, the QR is really up there by itself.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeah. tiles away. And when you start the game, you can lay one, but as soon as you get to green, which is pretty quick in this game, you can lay two yellows. So you can shoot out. You know, you can get there kind of fast. Forgive my page ruffling. I would like to actually be able to name the companies correctly for the sake of the podcast.
I like the page ruffling. In fact, when you're not page ruffling, I think we should have a page ruffling sound effect when you're looking stuff up on Google.
Okay, let's do it from now on. There it is. The New South Wales Railway is the orange one.
The orange in one, Sydney. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see it on the map picture.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Bank of England. Receivership. Gesundheit? Okay. You can't buy your privates in until they're green. That's the normal deal. You can't sell stock shares in the first stock round. Normal, 60% limit of share value, except for when you're in a three-player game where it's 70%, and that also applies to the Bank of England. anything else? Change of gauge. There are different regions. What are they called? Provinces in Australia. And when you cross over one, when you lay track, you place a white disc in between the two track tiles on that track, and it denotes a zero value stop for your train. Unless you have a plus train, and all the trains besides the 8/diesel have a plus on the reverse side of it that is slightly more money, so you can pay for the plus train to get past the gauge change, or not pay for it and eat a stop in your train. So if you have a 2-train, you can't get from a city to, I guess you can go city to zero value stop, I think. Or you can get a 2+ and go through and get another city. That's normal. What else is weird, Len? There's more weird stuff in this. Another weird thing in this game is that the IPO shares for the company and the bank pool, bank pool shares don't pay the company like they do in 1830.
That is true.
So because it's a Lonnie game, and Lonnie likes to do this, or actually Lonnie and Helmut, right? I think this might have more Helmut DNA on it than Lonnie, but I'm not sure. The shares in the bank pool don't pay the company. And in general, in the OO games, it's really hard to get money into the company without withholding. There's no half paying. There is no kind of, you know, extra money ends up in there for free kind of stuff. If you want more money, you got to withhold. Or in this case, take loans, which is their one conceit, but it hurts your share value. But you can do some fun stuff with it, which is pretty cool. So IPO shares and bank pool shares. Yeah, nothing else pays. Another funky thing in this game, dits are friendly. I guess that's kind of a minor point because there's only 3 tiles that feature dits, but they're the double dit tiles. And so that's a thing that's, it's less punishing than 1830, where 1830, it's like, screw you. And also now you have a 10 spot. Now it's, right, it can potentially be screw you, but here you get a free 10. You know, it's less of a punch in the gut. What about the Gon? Len, you want to mention the Gon?
Yeah, so the Gon is this, one of the privates gives you a discount off the Gon, but the Gon is kind of like, what other game has the, that's like 1880, where you've got 2s at the end of the game that you can buy. And so, but you can, in this game, you can only run the Gon, which is basically a 2-train you can buy. You can only run it up to Alice Springs. That's got to be one end of it. So you got to get a track to Alice Springs, which is, right, you know, off board up in one corner.
It is a 2E, so you can go through other cities.
Yes.
You get to count, and it has to start from its, you know, home station of the,
yep.
So it's the home station that you count and Alice Springs, and you can kind of meander through where, as long as you're not blocked by token.
And that's up the one Alice, that's up in like the northern part of the map where nothing really starts.
Yeah. Northwest.
Okay.
North by Northwest, I guess.
Of course, and it's northwest decent part of the map. It's basically dead center in the continent of Australia, but this is only the point. The map here is only basically between, What's the K that's all the way up on the right hand side where the QR starts? It goes from there and around, you know,
Sydney?
That one.
Oh, the K up there. I don't. Yeah, I can tell you with more page flipping. Brisbane.
Okay, that's Brisbane. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. It's right for geographical reference. It goes from Perth to Alice Springs to Brisbane to, you know, the Melbourne and Wagga Wagga and Sydney.
Yeah, I love the, I love the names.
Australia is a mystery. It's a wonderful, mysterious place. So yeah, gone. Okay. Then there's KK bonuses on the map. We mentioned K cities and we decoded the K thing. I was like, why did they choose K? Because there's five locations on the map, 4 places where you can actually lay tiles. One of them is a red offboard that have this K on printed on the map. And in yellow, it's not a special tile, but everything after that is, and they're worth more. And at the end of the game, there's 1 gray K tile that can go up to 80. So it ends up being a big thing. Or is it two? There are 2 gray Ks.
Yes, there are 2 gray Ks.
All of the K tiles are like
Ks.
In their brown and gray, they are Ks. They're K, you know, straight.
They're all coastal cities.
Right. So that's what that is.
That's what that is.
Unless, is the German word for coast, it starts with a K, doesn't it?
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, Küste. So it's probably K for Küste.
Oh, right.
also okay, and serendipitously,
it could be either one, right?
A K shape.
It's a double.
Or maybe
Lacandra.
It's for being a K shape, and serendipitously, also Kusta. For Costa.
Not Costa, Kusta.
Kusta. Is it like a O with an umlaut over it?
It's a U with umlauts. Kusta.
Oh, a U.
Kusta.
Yeah.
Kusta.
Oh, that's interesting. The word is Kusta, K U umlaut S T E.
Yeah.
That's interesting because desert is Wusta.
Yeah, Wusta and Kusta.
Wusta, Kusta.
This has been
the
learning
desert and the coast.
Auf Deutsch mit. Blanking on what train is, and I don't know. I don't know what shuffling. Oh man, we should learn how to play. How to say train shuffling, auf Deutsch, and we could pick up new listeners. Zug.
I'll work on that in the background here.
Zug schlürfen.
Say it without laughing.
Zug schlürfen.
That's train shuffling.
Schlürfen is to shuffle.
Yeah, that's what I got too. Zug schlürfen.
Zug schlürfen. Schlürfen is also to slurp, though, so I'm not sure about that.
I like that better than the English version.
Shuffle, to move one's feet on the ground. The act of shuffling. Schlürfen is also to shuffle cards. Oh my God.
What would a shuffler be?
My German's pretty rusty. I don't know. Oh man, this is not what people are. Mischer?
Zug Mischer.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a totally different word.
It is, yes. I'm probably, yeah, in vernacular, they probably, maybe they use mission instead of schlürfen. that word gives me the giggles. Okay, anyway, what were we talking about?
Some train game.
Some train game. This is the goofiest episode. We are not even drinking. I had tea.
We've gone all the way from Russia to Germany and Latvia.
Okay, yeah, we're
steering pretty clear of Australia so far.
Mm-hmm. That's because I don't know how to pronounce city names over there. Right, K cities. So there are these cities on the board, and if you visit more than one of them, you get a bonus. The formula is count up all the K cities that you got minus one times, no, times 100, times 50 minus 50. I think.
What?
Right. No, you had it right. Count up all the K cities in your run, subtract one, and then times 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So two is a two, you get 50.
Three is 100.
Every one past the first one. Yes. Yeah. Right. Two, you get 50. Three, you get 100. Four, you get 150. And for five, which is difficult to do, you get plus 200.
I'm guessing you did it.
Remember that for later.
foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. Okay. Yep. So that's K's. You're trying to, you know, those are the big money spots. You can trade in a four, only a four in this game, for an eight or a diesel, unlike, you know, similar but different from 1830. In that game, you know, in 30, you can trade in a five or a six if you wanted to as well. In this game, it's only a four train. And you also have to buy through both sixes to get to the gray trains, the 8/diesel trains. They're not opened up immediately after buying the first six. The only other things that are like drastically different that I can think of are that the game end triggers are different. It ends if the bank breaks. There's no bankruptcy in this game. So there's lots of loans. And if you eventually like don't have any shares and you have to pay people back, for compensation, then you have to take up like a cash loan and you have to pay that back before you can do any stock actions. So, game and triggers bank breaks. If a company reaches the highest share price space, which I haven't seen, if the bank has given more than 16 loans, that's a thing. Oh, there is another funky thing, which I'll mention in a second. When there are five or more companies that have gone into receivership, it'll trigger the end and you just play through a round of ORs. There is train exporting in this game too, and it triggers when the second company goes into receivership, you export the cheapest available permanent train that's on sale from the bank. So if a five is available, then a five will go. If a six is available, then a six will go. If they're not, then nothing goes. But so that, you know, companies are leaving the game and it's kind of, I think it's trying to resize the bank roster on the fly. which is interesting. That's all the weird stuff. Besides the Calm, forgot about the Calm. The Calm is pretty neat. It's a company that you can't start in the beginning of the game, and you can only start it once Sydney and Adelaide are connected by an infinite length train and it goes through tokens. Or the sixes are broken. Then you can start the Calm. You can par it before then.
Isn't one of the privates the Calm?
No. The car is the most expensive private. And you get the presidency. That's the B&O, basically. Okay. Which is more viable in this game than the B&O. Well, I don't know. The B&O is pretty viable, I guess. I'm not a 30 guy. But the Calm, you know, once six shares are bought, it won't start. It won't float until this happens. So the Calm will float, and then, you know, if it's connected, it's guaranteed a token in both of those places, Sydney and Adelaide, which are both K cities, and they're both good. So those are all the rules things that I want to highlight. Len, am I missing anything?
No, I think you covered them all.
Cool.
All right, now give us the 4-hour blow-by-blow of your...
Yeah, okay, so first thing I did is I thought about how much money I had. No, I'm not going to do that. I had a very good game of this. This was an exciting game, so I just have to gush about it, and that's why we're here. I'm forcing Len to relive the horrific experience that he had, and Johnny just to hear me talk about my game, because it was such a good experience for me. Here is the quick version. So I won the Gone and the Car privates. So two pretty expensive privates. Which ones are they? They are the Private 4 and Private 6. And I won them for like close to the bottom values. It was like 145 and 200, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Sounds so right. I got those. Joe Roshanan, we played with Eric Brocious, Joe Roshanan, and Len, and Brett Johnson.
Yep.
So it was a 5-player game, and that's a kind of put an important detail, I guess.
Six
Joe
privates.
Got the, say what?
Six privates, right?
Six privates.
Yep.
5 players. Yeah, yeah. Joe got the P5 for the bottom value, or the like either 145 or 140, which is near the bottom.
Yeah, that's great. And the P5 that's the one with the green one with the share of the QR, right?
Right. Up in the corner.
Yep.
Len, you got the...
I got the Tasmanian Railway.
Tasmanian.
Which I thought was going to be really big money for me until someone reminded me, I think it was you, like, oh, it looks like a dit, which dits are free in this game, but it's not. It counts as a major city.
Yes.
But early on, isn't it one of the more valuable locations?
Oh, yeah, yes. But I was planning on running it twice, you know, and getting this plus 50 bonus on my two trains, and I was sadly mistaken.
Yeah. He thought he could go Tasmania City.
Right.
Okay.
With his 2-train, but he couldn't.
He couldn't.
And then I think, yeah, Brett got the other two cheap ones.
Right. He bought the two cheap ones. Yep.
Right. So I won the Gun in the Car at close to the bottom. I parred. The Car is always at 100. It's forced to par at 100.
Wait, that doesn't sound right. There's 6 privates, so 2 of us couldn't have had 2 privates. Did someone not get a private?
I'm sure Eric will correct us later. Yeah, I'm sure he will. I know I got those two. You got Tasmania. I know Joe got the QR. And
so Brett didn't.
Yeah,
get
Eric
two.
Didn't. Eric didn't get a private.
Oh, Eric didn't. That's right.
Right. Yep. So I had the 2 shares of the Car, and Eric started to buy those. So I just sat there with my money, and I didn't do anything, and I let him float it. And I just had 2 shares of it. And he was responsible and bought 2 T's. And like I said, I didn't buy any shares. And the next SR, I bought 5 of the Car. I bought up all the rest of the shares in the Car, which ended up floating up to 110. Because float ups happen in this game. It operated. And the next SR, I sold all of my shares down. And in Lonnie games also, notably, or not Lonnie, in this game. In this game, you drop once per like all the shares. It's not per share sold. So it was like, it didn't feel quite as nasty, but I got a bunch of money. I mean, got a $550 out of that. And I started the VR at 80.
Yep.
Bought a 4T. At some point early, I took a preemptive loan with the VR. I didn't need it, but I like took it because I was thinking later, maybe I will need this. And I felt really proud of myself for doing that. I it's one of the things that I look back and go, yeah, that was good. That was a good move. And the main thing that I did that made me like do well in this game was that I bought the Gone In at that point for 220 or whatever his max is. And then the next SR, I used all that money and then sold some other shares to buy 4 shares of Bank of England. And that's what it was at 90, I think. It was like after the one loan had been taken, which between then and like the next OR or two went up to like 140. And then I sold one of those and it was like paying pretty well. Sold one of those and a few others. And I launched the Com at that point, which was, we were right before the sixes. And so the Com, I got it, which was awesome. Had a bunch of money and I floated it at 90 and I had a 4 and the Com, and I bought the 4 over for $1 and I traded it in plus my money to get a diesel. And at this point I had connectivity with it from all the K's and I hit a 5K run and I ran for 94 a share and it was gorgeous.
I think I identified why you won. It sounds like nobody else did anything.
Yeah, it was just me. It was just me.
Oh no, people were doing things, or people were having things done to them, we should say.
Let's hear it from your perspective.
Let's see. I started off, I floated the purple railway, the South Australian, because the car was started, and because I had Tasmania, so it was either that or the VR. And the VR starts with one less token and looked like I could get some friendly track building with the car. So I started the SAR, and that wasn't doing too badly, other than the fact that, as mentioned before, I thought I could run Tasmania for an extra city over what I actually could. So I wasn't making quite as much as I intended to. Was okay through the twos and the threes, and then, you know, being 1830 style, so it's like, okay, at some point, SAR was out of money, so next stock round was probably SR3. I sold the SAR down to the presidency and started the Orange Railroad, the New South Wales. And
nobody took that from you. Nobody wanted to.
No, because it had no money in it, and I think 2 2s and a 3 or 2 3s and a 2. So
that's a funny thing in this game too, is that when like in 30, if you sell a company down and there's a bunch of shares in the bank pool, they start making it more money, attractive over
right.
time. In this
but
game,
they
that
don't.
Doesn't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
So the usual plan, I was hoping I was going to get 2 permanents out of the Orange company and, you know, and do the thing. But then the train, if I remember correctly, the train rush, I miscalculated the train rush. I only got 1 permanent out of the Orange, but it's like, okay, we got these loans. So I started taking loans in the purple in the South Australian. But then, you know, as you pointed out earlier, Eric, every loan sends you 2 left on the stock market. And then if you're withholding as well, there's another left, right? So, well, toward the end of the game, you were doing well because you were taking out, I think it was with the VR, you were taking out loans, but then paying. So you went back 2 and forward 1. So it wasn't too bad.
Right.
But
right. And I had enough shares in the Bank of England that it actually made me more money.
Yeah.
Every time I took a loan, stock value bump from the Bank of England made me more money than I was losing by the 2 shares or 3 shares I had in the VR going back
right.
one every time.
Right.
While paying out, which was pretty cool to like play it that way.
But then I really hit the wall when I miscalculated, or since the first time I played the game was kind of like, okay, pushing buttons and seeing what happened. And I thought I had it all set that I'd taken one more loan on the South Australian and I had enough cash, I withheld. And the next time the next operating round, was it the next?
I
was going to buy an 8, but then
you were going to buy
a 6.
A 5 or a 6?
I was going to buy a 6 because I had a 4.
Yes.
I might have had 2 4s. And then,
Brett.
No, I didn't have 2 because I wouldn't have had the train space. So I had a 4 and I was teetering on the left edge of the stock market right next to receivership. And I thought I was going to get my 6, but then you broke 8s. which left me with no trains.
The big thing was that Brett started a company. He started at 100. He bought a 5 for 500, I think, and then took a loan and bought the 6 as well.
That's right.
In the same, same like turn.
That's right.
And so he got 2, rusted the 3s.
Yep.
And then, you know, the 6 got bought, and then I bought the diesel, and then you were screwed.
That's right. Yeah. Brett bought 2 because I thought that even if you bought 1, there was going to be 1 left for me, but then there wasn't. And so there I was with the purple railway on the edge of the stock market. But now I thought I was going to be able to pay out, but I had no train. So guess what? I moved back and I fell into receivership. And then it was,
surprise receivership. It was pretty funny because Len was like, oh,
I've seen that look before.
pretty recently too. Yeah. The interesting thing was we were all sitting there and I was like, well, you could just shuffle that other train over. He had a 4 in the other company. And everyone pointed out, I was like, no, because he's not paying when he shuffles it over. He's just going to withhold. And then he goes into receivership.
Right.
Because he's right on the edge.
Right.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
That was. Joe also went into receivership with the QR eventually. And Joe was like, Joe knew that he was dead from the start too.
Yeah,
he kind of sat there and he's like, well, I'm going to watch this game. So that's kind of the complaint that I would come, like the QR is really bad. I have read some people talking about, I think JC was talking about in a forum post in the strategy section of this game on BGG that like you can run it really hot and drive it into receivership right away and then just start a new company, which is an interesting idea. Like you run it super hot. You don't really care about its long-term prospects because you sell down and then it goes into receivership and okay. Great. And then you start your new company and you made a bunch of money and you don't need to worry about the diesel eventually for it because you can just throw it away. The other thing that happens too when a company goes into receivership is that the cert limit goes down for everybody. And then the person who caused it to go, the president, it goes down 1 more for them.
Right.
So they get penalized. So there's that. But if you're playing that game, I don't know, maybe it's survivable. What else? Anything else?
So like you said, Joe, I managed to not be last only because Joe unfortunately had a worse time than me. But then what happened with Eric Brogius and Brett?
Eric had he was buying good shares, and so he like did very well on share value, but I just had a lot of cash from my extremely good com runs for 94. There's no double jumping or any in this game. And my company's share values were worse than they could have been because I was doing that withhold thing just and taking a loan, take a loan. So I was moving back a little bit, but it didn't matter because I was getting more money.
Yeah.
Nobody else really, there was a couple people who bought a few shares in the Bank of England, but I had 5 in the end and 4 for a good chunk in the middle. And when I dumped everything and bought those 4, people were like, another share of the bank, huh? And I was looking around the table and nobody had any cash in their companies.
Right.
And everyone had 3s and 4s.
That was a good move.
Somebody's going to get screwed here and I'm going to reap the benefits. So that was kind of fun to see it. Actually, everything just worked out.
Yeah.
And I never, only because you weren't there, Johnny. We said this a few times, like the only reason I won was because you weren't there. So. I mean, I'm so used to getting my butt kicked by those guys that,
I mean, you and me both. When
I found a nut, I'm a blind squirrel in this analogy. I cut you off. You said you and me both when?
Oh, I mean, when Eric Brogius and Joe and Len are involved, it's a challenge for both of us.
Yeah.
So we gotta bring people like like Knog and people that don't know how to play 18xx in every once in a while to boost our confidence.
Yeah.
Although I actually, I did say that I was retiring from 18xx after our last game. It was streamed. So any of you that watch the stream and listen to the podcast already know this, but I've peaked in my 18xx career. I finally beat Eric Brogius at 1880.
And 46.
And 46 and New England, the trifecta.
New England? Oh, you mean 33.
Or yeah,
33andMe.
33andMe. The one true New England. So my work here is done.
Hi, Scott. Scott's a listener. He knows. He knows we have gripes about the New England title.
It's fun to remember about that, especially because
New Englanders.
He knows what he did with that map.
Bad man. That's funny. That's all. I just want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, good job.
And Len was supposed to be there for our stream of 1880, but he had a stomach bug.
I did.
So you missed out on the fun. That was a fun stream as well. I didn't do as good. I don't think I did terribly. But I came third. So
that is the second time in a row that we've played 1880 where you've had a company stolen from you.
Yeah, you stole my company in that game, and I didn't see it coming. I was so I had like two or three shares of a company, and Johnny had it, and then I bought another share, and he's like, "Okay, so I'm going to take this from Eric," and I had like $300 or $400 in it.
And your confidence, your confidence in your reaction actually threw me off, and I thought you were going to be fine because you were like, "Oh, that's fine. I'm just gonna sell the rest of these shares and tank your stock value, and I'm gonna buy up all these HKRs, and it'll be great." And I was like, "That didn't work out nearly as bad for Eric as I thought it was."
He wasn't nearly as upset as I wanted him to be.
Yeah.
Right, because I had the Rocket of China, so I was trying to get shares in the company that was going to get that +40 boost at the end. Because it always seems to be the struggle between you and Eric. I've never had the Rocket before, but you or him always have it in the games that I've played with you, and it always seems to be a struggle for like who can get the shares with the HK with the Rocket in it.
So I guess I've been literally insane with 1880 in that I've tried the exact same strategy every time. I always start the HKR, I get the Rocket of China, I run a monster company, and Eric buys like 50% of my company and wins the game,
and then crushes you. Well, and not then, crushes you, but.
No, actually, it was like, we were within like $40-something last time when he beat me. But then you did my strategy, but you got like 80% of the company. And I'm like, that's what I've been trying to do this whole time. Eric's got it.
Right.
He's figured it out.
I was third. So that's not the dominant strategy. I probably made some other mistakes in the middle there.
But I think if you hadn't lost the,
company.
What was the company? The JHU. I think if I hadn't been able to steal that from you, it would have been very different, because not only was I able to steal that, but then I started the JHA, which works really well with that. So that wouldn't have run as well if you still own the JHU. True. So,
yeah. So if anybody wants to watch any of that, if what we're talking about sounds interesting, or if you don't know 1880, Eric did a full teach of the rules. He knows this game very well. He has a script that he reads from. He's written out very thoughtful, learn to play these games scripts and puts them on BGG generally. I believe this one's up there as well. So check out the video. I will put a link to that in the show notes as well.
And maybe we'll record a new intro lick with our guitars next time.
Yeah. All right. So because this is a casual thing, if you guys want to stick around for a few more minutes, I've been meaning to try and edge in. Our structure doesn't support it. We need to find where it goes. But I want to talk about since this is the lounge edition, the lounge car edition, just talk about stuff that, what else have we been doing besides train games? Because I don't know. I'm assuming that we've talked about enough that people know that, but maybe not. I'm a huge hobby guy. I love all my hobbies. Johnny's got hobbies. Johnny's also a hobby guy.
Got hobbies out the wazoo.
Len is nodding his head. He is a hobby guy. Yeah. So let's talk about what else has been taking up our time besides train games. Johnny, why don't you start?
So mostly guitar. Actually, up until the last week or so, also Destiny. Yeah. Destiny 2, really.
Destiny 2.
I've always been big into hobbies, but Eric has this way of getting really excited about things that gets me excited about things, and he's amplified my tendency to pick up hobbies and dive into it. So he
got
really
into... You
don't
know what that means to me to hear you say that, man.
So I must have been a couple years at this point. You got decided you wanted to get a Switch and you started getting really into video mm-hmm. games and then that moved into the PS5 and we started playing all the Souls games. And then we started doing like a weekly video game night and we finished a game and we're like, what's the next game? And we decided we'd try Destiny 2. And so that's been the new thing that we've been playing for a few months now.
Yep.
So that's one. And then guitar is the other. I have totally destroyed my fingers this weekend. I played for like 6 hours yesterday.
That is truly obsessive.
That's amazing.
I love it.
I kept going to play for a couple hours and then my fingies would hurt.
Your fingies. And
I would go upstairs and then I just couldn't stop coming back downstairs.
That's awesome. To play That's more. Really cool. What were you doing for all that time?
A little bit of song practice, but not much. Sadly, I was doing a lot of trying to vibrato in a bend.
So and technique
I find that to be like the most difficult thing.
It's very hard.
I did some scales and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, cool.
Lots of drills.
Len, what about you?
Cool. Well, as the two of you know, not that I need to add anything to the hobby pile, certainly, but lately you guys have gotten me to brush up on my guitar skills again. And yes. I've had my acoustic sitting in the closet and, you know, pulled it out probably a month or so ago and just started, you know, picking around and strumming some chords and stuff. But then you guys got me going on the electric gig. And honestly, after watching all 8 hours of the Beatles Get Back, it's like, yeah, you know what? I should probably get myself an electric guitar finally and fool around a little bit. So
I've heard about the Beatles. It's a series documentary thing.
So yeah, I mean, the story was originally before COVID, it was supposed to be Peter Jackson still directing. It was supposed to be just one movie, you know, a two and a half, 3 hour movie. But then with COVID and the release got delayed, you know, as Peter Jackson tends to do, he says, oh, why not just take all this stuff and make it bigger? So he turned it into a 3-part miniseries. It's, I think the total running time is like 8 hours, which takes you through the 3 weeks that the Beatles were in Twickenham and then back at Abbey Road, you know, in the lead up to the rooftop concert. And it was just fabulous. The first, for those of you who haven't seen it, first of all, I'm a huge Beatles fan. So watching all 8 hours was fine for me. And I'm, you know, I can't wait to get the physical copy so I can watch it again, or I could probably just watch it again on Disney. But the first hour of the first third kind of drags a little bit as they're kind of setting things up. But the rest of it is just fascinating. It's it was amazing watching like songs being born sitting there in the studio. It was like Get Back itself. And Johnny's showing me something. Oh, isn't that great? Was that a lunchbox? What is that?
It's a DAC, a digital analog headphone amplifier.
Nice.
It's got a sticker of the Beatles on it.
A Beatles logo on it.
My dad was a huge, huge Beatles fan. He owned all the vinyls and everything. He bought everything on every format as it was coming out.
Just couldn't get. It's amazing how many times Paul McCartney has gotten us to buy the same music.
Yeah.
I don't have any of my vinyl anymore, but I did keep out of my vinyl. I have the Red album on red vinyl and the Blue album on blue vinyl. So I did keep those.
Nice. I don't have any of them. My uncle's also a huge Beatles fan, and my dad left all the Beatles records for my uncle, so I don't have any of them.
Nice. But yeah, so then lately, as I'm starting to shop, and you guys were helping an awful lot, you know, on guitar suggestions. But then in the end, Eric, thank you so much. So I just recently bought this, I forget the maker. Who is it? The Santana guitar?
It's a PRS.
It's a PRS
Santana that the both of you have played. So it's got some good mojo in it. And ran out today, as a matter of fact, and bought a Boss Katana 50-watt amp. So going to get that hooked up.
Len, have you owned an electric guitar before?
I have.
So I think, actually, that was my I was going to say it was all of our first electric guitars, but it was actually my second, technically.
Cool.
And I owned one a while ago.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And
Yeah. No, I love
it. I used to play in a really bad cover band, so I had an electric guitar for that. Yeah.
I had a Squire Strat and then that.
Yeah, you guys
a long, long time before I upgraded.
Yeah, you guys did. You guys have done quite an upgrade.
Both of you.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what anything else besides the guitar taking up your time?
So that starting to take up my time, but it's good because, you know, with all the computer stuff I do, you know, it's nice to have something different for my hands to do than play with a mouse. Well, that's sharing time with, my other gaming rabbit hole at the moment, which I think I've mentioned before, is Advanced Squad Leader. So I've been continuing that dive down the rabbit hole and just got pummeled the other day in a Battle of the Bulge scenario, a scenario from the Battle of the Bulge, and out with the Germans with a bunch of tanks and got my butt kicked by my friend who was the Americans with a bunch of tanks. So.
How long do one of those games take?
Short scenarios. Like we played a scenario in a long afternoon. I think we started before noon and finished about 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So not too bad.
So on par with 18XX.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Doing it live on Vassal, Discord and Vassal.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
So yeah, that's the two of those have been taking up all my non-18XX time.
Like you mentioned, this is like 8 months ago now. It's like 6 months ago now. I visited a friend and he was up in a cabin, not much to do. He had an acoustic guitar out and he and I used to play actually when we were over in Germany for a little while, just kind of noodling. And he, encouraged me to play it. And then I was leaving and he was like, you should like play the guitar again. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. My acoustic that I had was sitting in a closet for like 10 years. About 10 years. Cause we moved into this house about 10 years ago and haven't been playing it for that long, which is crazy to me. But I was inspired and I played some of that. And then I was like, I've never played electric like really well. I played in this band cover band, like I mentioned, but I wanted to go look into getting some stuff. And Johnny had this guitar, the PRS SE Santana, and got it for a song from Johnny with the friends and family discount, and made my wife real mad by buying an amp without appropriately getting the approval for the purchase for that. But it was like, come hell or high water, gonna do that. Started taking lessons, as did Johnny recently. And been playing for about 6 months and finally got the opportunity, got a little bonus from work and bought myself what I think is, I'm hoping will stay the dream guitar for me. That's just going to, I'm not going to get the bug to buy a bunch of other really expensive guitars, but I got a PRS.
You say that now.
We'll see. I don't feel the urge right now. I'm in love with this guitar. It's a PRS Silver Sky. It's a John Mayer PRS Stratocaster, basically. And it looks beautiful. It is midnight rose, rosewood fretboard. Just very nice. And so I've been playing that. Like Johnny mentioned, I've also been doing some...
It's a good thing you don't know anybody else that has that exact same color guitar. I know.
Yeah, it's so funny. Johnny just built himself a Stratocaster and it looks exactly the same.
It's so weird because I knew about the Silver Sky because I knew about the announcement years ago whenever they announced it, but I never looked into one because I had 80% of a John Mayer Strat. Well, I had a John Mayer Strat, actually a legit one, and I had 80% of one that I had bought all the parts when he announced leaving Fender, and the last thing I needed was a body for it, and I didn't want to buy like a standard Strat body. So I decided to finally spring for the custom one. And I had always really liked that it was actually a Buick color, Burgundy Mist. I think it was Buick. And it was like a color used in the 60s on Japanese Strats. And I'd always really liked that color. And I went and ordered this. And then you posted a link to like the new 2021 color.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had no idea. And it was, it's funny because it's a John Mayer guitar. I'm a huge John Mayer fan, but I didn't do it because I knew that there was a John Mayer guitar of that color. It was just total coincidence.
Yeah. So now if we jam together, we're going to look goofy.
But my pick is parchment though. And yours is white. So
That's true. That's true. But mine's got birds on it. So
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. I also am, maybe not quite as much of, that's probably bullshit. Just as much of a John Mayer fan as you are, but more recent more recently. I've been really getting into his music.
He's why I picked up guitar, actually. Well, I got a guitar because I was 15 years old and I, you know, like most
you
teenagers,
look cool
I thought it was going to be cool.
Get the girls.
But I didn't play it at all until I first heard John Mayer on the radio. And that's when I like really decided I wanted to learn to play guitar.
At what point was what was he playing that you like were listening to? Do you remember?
It was like the very it was
like Room for
it was
Squares,
like his early stuff. Yeah, it was
yeah
like the first stuff that I learned was on not Room for Squares. It was
heavier things.
His no, his EP.
Oh,
the one before yeah. Room for Squares.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
That was kind of like the one that Victoria is on. That was the first album I started learning how to play songs from, and yeah, so. The only reason I play guitar is John Mayer, so I can't. I got to credit him for my desire to play.
But besides the guitar, I've been doing playing PS5, Destiny 2 with Johnny and a couple of other friends. Just recently started playing Dark Souls 2, which is I know a lot of people don't like it as much as the other ones, but I'm loving it. It's very good, and I also have been feeling fat and sassy. So lately. This past week, I started P90X again, which I did 10 or 11 years ago and had really good results. So, you know, it's a workout routine you do for 90 days, and they have a schedule and videos. And so I'm trying to work out. Yeah, that's it. That's all the stuff that's taking up my time. That's, you know, besides work and a family, two kids, house, Christmas, all that stuff. Train games.
Train games.
Yeah. Okay, this is where we peter off, I think.
Yeah.
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 Yep. Bye.
Yep. Yep. what's our new week?
It's stay calm and pay your divs.
Stay calm and pay at least half. Or spin in place.
Yeah, stay calm and half pay.
Half pay, double
Randy
jump.
Liked that from the last one.
He did, yeah. I'm not sure about that. You know, I feel like a cliche saying stay calm and anything.
Well, yeah, because it is a cliche.
I know, and that's why I'm not sure if I can fully adopt that.
We don't need to be hipsters.
Well, what about half pay and double jump?
No.
No?
No.
I don't know why. It just doesn't work as like a
that's just a thing that you
phrase.
Do in games. It's not a catchphrase.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just good advice.
Yeah, that's just logical. Just good sense. Anyway, stay tuned for our next episode.
write in with your tagline suggestions.
Yeah, no, we've solicited for a tagline the entirety of this podcast, and we've never got anything that we like. We should stop it.
Well, I guess we're not making people suffer enough.
Yeah. What was the original one? I forget.
Run your trains and pay your divs.
Run your trains and pay your
divs. Oh yeah, I remember that.
So memorable, I can't remember it. Okay, well, thanks for everyone for joining us for this goofy and casual lounge car edition of Train Shuffling.
You should put some really bad lounge music over this as we fade out.
Nice.
Oh, we could play it ourselves.
I'll fade
then
it in here.
Then it's guaranteed to be really bad.
You've been listening to Train Shuffling. We've been your hosts, Eric Heiden and Johnny Hollander, joined by Leonard K. II. No. If you want to get in touch with us about anything we've said in this episode, we can be reached at... No,
you can be reached.
That's true. None can't be reached. can be reached by email at trainshuffling@gmail.com, on Twitter at trainshuffling, on our BGG guild number 3710 that Randy, and only Randy and I have a conversation in every once in a while, on our hotline 410-357-1898 that we need to make sure it doesn't get canceled because we haven't been using it enough, Johnny. Reminder. Second memory. And if you want to support the show, then visit patreon.com/trainshuffling.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.